And the theme for tonight, the title for tonight, is Fear and Faith. Fear and faith often go hand in hand. In the stilling of the storm in Mark chapter 4, previously, you have the fear of the disciples for their lives in that storm, and yet the rebuke of Jesus when he says, "Where is your faith?" In the following verses of chapter 5, you have the fear of the woman who touched the hem of Christ's garment to be healed, and Jesus commending her for her faith. In these words we are considering tonight, there is a fear generated by legion, and then this faith as the result of being healed and made normal. So our first point, legion was a slave. We have 4 points, and they'll come up in at the right time. In the case of legion, his life was dominated by Satan. It was controlled by these unclean spirits. And we need to acknowledge that Satan is at the root of all the evil in this world. This is reaffirmed in the Bible time and time again. And when you look at the temptation of Jesus, you see again the way in which the devil is very much at the forefront of there. Legion was a pawn in the hands of these evil powers, and therefore he was uncontrollable. People had tried to control him. They therefore put him in chains, and he carried on his sad life in the tombs, but he soon broke the chains. And he was his usual self there. Because of the way he lived, he alienated himself from society, from humanity. And you could say he had self-destructive tendencies. He was therefore a slave to these unclean spirits. Right, let's bring it up to date today. Do you meet somebody like this in Wigston, or in Blaby, or in Fleckney, whatever? The answer is probably not. You or I don't bump into those sort of people there. But notice, going to Leicester in the daytime and try and meet some of the people who are around there. And you will meet people there who, in the middle of the day, are totally out of control because they're drunk. Or not in control, because they are under the influence of drugs. And you will see them there. And they are totally taken over by their tendencies there. Sad to see them suffering in this way. How about those people with a gambling habit? We often read in our papers, don't we? Somebody's wanted to splash money on a big holiday or big holidays, or they've got a gambling habit and taken money from their firm, and they're in prison as a result of it there. So you have people in these situations. They feed their addiction. Sadly, these people are all too common. Yet, they're often hidden in plain sight. They are slaves to their addiction. However, the great majority of folk we meet are good living and kind people. They do their best for themselves, their family, and their community there. Nice people to meet, to spend time with, and like being neighbourly. But still, their lives are controlled by their sin. They prefer their choices. They prefer their way. Consequently, they have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are slaves to their lifestyle. It may not be as extreme as the other people, but is that you? Are you living a good life and relying on that good life to get you, not just to church, but into heaven? The answer is it won't. It won't, because God has made it painfully clear in these words here, it's not our goodness, yours or mine, that gets us into his presence. But it's only the goodness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So if you're in that position, can I urge you to think again and to come out of that mold and to throw off your uncertainty and to rest in Christ alone as your Savior. So we have Legion was a slave. Secondly, we have Legion was a seeker. What does verse 6 tell us in chapter 5? It tells us this. He saw Jesus from afar and he ran and fell down before him. Now here was somebody alienated from God, and that's what he does. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. What does he say? Well, he says this in verse 7. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Wow. Those are words of perception. Now, whether they're his words or the words of the demons, we can't be sure. But they're still phenomenal words there. And he engages in conversation with Jesus there to sort himself out. In conversations that you have or that I have, it's always a joy to see people asking questions and grappling with spiritual truth. So let's consider a few quotes from a Beach Mission prayer letter. A local family with 5 children met last year who have opened up and started to consider the gospel. Mabel thought. A teenager who stated at the open air that she wanted to believe. St. Ives. A teenager and her grandmother seeking evidence for the faith. Dawlish Warren. So we have instances of where people are seekers there. When you look towards the end of those verses there, you see that the demons go into the pigs and consequently they die. That was the way it worked out. That's the way it's recorded. Pigs were certainly unclean animals for the Jews, and this was probably a Gentile region. So we have Legion was a slave. Secondly, Legion was a seeker. Thirdly, Legion was saved. What does verse 14 tell us? Tells us that the herdsmen fled. The other herdsmen fled, and they told people in the city and country. And do you know what? The people came. The people came and had a look there. Now, I don't know about you, but how many people do you think have been down to the River Severn, either at Worcester or at Bewdley or at Ironbridge, to have a look at the floods and to see the powerful water surging past? I'm sure people do. Not just the residents who are, you know, really thinking about their homes there, but they do. And they go there and they look. And what did these people conclude when they saw Legion there? And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, in verse 15, the one who had been the Legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Wow, what a difference, what a change, what a transformation. They'd known this man with all his shrieks and all his antics and all his outwardness, really, there. And some may have grown up with Legion, and some parents may have used Legion as a bogeyman and said to their children, if you're naughty, you'll turn out like Legion there. I'm sure that would have been used in those particular times there. Now he was normal. Now he was in his right mind, thanks to Jesus. And the words of Paul in Corinthians sums it up so well. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, the new life isn't always dramatic and dynamic. It is sometimes, and people change. Even young people change, and older people change. But sometimes the change can be very gradual. And we need to work with that. The essence is to preserve and to promote the godly, with godly encouragement, the newfound faith that they have. And let the Holy Spirit develop that faith, deepen that faith there. These people had come and they saw this changed man. What was their response in verse 15? Very end. Can say they were afraid. Thank you. They were afraid. What a response! What a response indeed. They were afraid there, and as a result of that, they begged Jesus to leave their region. They had observed the dramatic way in which Legion was in his right mind, but they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Now, that happens today too, doesn't it? That happens today. When a person is a witness and there's such a difference of character that changes, then in actual fact, it is dramatic. And it requires a lot of help. Now, today, people's lives, when they're saved, are changed by Jesus, and a response may be similar. People may still respond, "Oh, that's so and so. He'll soon get over it. Oh, she's going through a phase. It'll be different when it comes out." Let the years go on. And people look at it as if it's just something that is temporary. But what we need to realize is when Christ changes a life and comes into a life, and becomes very much part of that person, it is a total change there. You've got instances, have we not, of where in a group of friends, one person has become a Christian. As a result of that person becoming a Christian, they witness to their friends and they've become Christians too. It happens in families as well. Doesn't always happen in families, but there are families that I can think of where somebody has become a Christian, God's come into their lives, and there has been a change gone on, not just in that person, but also in other siblings, mum and dad, children, and things like that there. Remember to pray for unconverted family members. Legion was a slave, Legion was a seeker, Legion was saved. Fourthly, Legion was a speaker. What was now at the heart of Legion? With all his heart, what did he want to do? And he wanted to be with Jesus, alongside him, listening to him, seeing what he does. Feeling the love and compassion of Jesus that he had for people. But his hopes were dashed, totally dashed, because the response that Jesus gave to him in verse 19, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. In other words, stay where you are. You're not coming with me. You're not joining this band of disciples. You're staying where you are. Now, what did Legion do? You know, with all his heart, he wanted to be with Jesus. But again, the Bible makes it very clear to us. In verse 20, it says this, and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. In other words, he stayed where he'd been brought up, where he'd been a maniac, so to speak, and that was what he did. Tremendous. He was a speaker now, saved and a speaker. Now then, question for you and for me. Can you say today that you have proclaimed in Wigston, Great Glen, Leicester, wherever you happen to have come from, how much Jesus has done for you? That's the challenge for you and me today. We may have been in the area for a few months. We may have only been there for many years. But you and I meet people on a daily basis. Sometimes you meet them occasionally, sometimes you meet them weekly, and so on there. But we meet people, and that is the way in which God works. One-to-one, individually, trying to show them what Christ can do in making them whole and in a right mind. It's our responsibility, it's our desire, it's our privilege to be able to do this for the Lord. Now, it's not just in words, although words are very much part of it. It's also in attitudes and in actions. Let me give you a few instances, if I may. It may come up this way. You're in a conversation with a group of people, and then someone will say, can we give our children morals? That's happened in my instance. And we're able to talk about to do that, to give children values, if you like, for today that are unchanging there. You're selling a car. You're selling a car because it's got an intermittent fault on it. In other words, something happens and it won't start every now and again. So you go along to the garage and you take it to the fella, usually the fella, and he asks you, is there anything wrong with it, Mr. Cook? Now, as a Christian, you would honestly say, yes. Unfortunately, there is an intermittent fault, which my garage hasn't been able to get to the bottom of. So honesty comes out there. Have you been ever given too much in a bank or in a shop? A change, a fiver or a tenner? And have you said to the person behind the counter, do you want to check the change you've given me? This is where Christians stand out. You're in the world of work. You're in the world of work. And the people, well, they're just filling out their expenses. And they can be very elaborate. In other words, untruthful, right? But people do it. And other people do it, and they say, aren't you doing it? But a Christian doesn't. A Christian is somebody who would be honest. And if you're in a situation where somebody says, okay, you won't put an extra hour down. You know, you haven't done it, but it don't matter. And you'll get paid for it. Then you don't take that step. Honesty is one of the important things. You're a couple living together, and one of you becomes a Christian. The result is they want to get married. They've been living together quite happily as partners for years. But then you want to get married. These are some of the things and the ways in which you can speak and I can speak in the situation. Dale Ralph Davis, in his book on the Psalms, recounts the earlier part of the Battle of Gettysburg in the American Civil War. The Federal lines were in a confusing mess, ambulances clattering along, dazed stragglers wandering around, the deafening sound of big guns, the crackle of small arms, the yelling and screaming of men. A column of General Slocum's troops was marching towards the front line, which they could not see. Though they were veterans, they were unnerved. What they heard put them on the edge of panic. The troops were passing a little cabin by the roadside, and in front of it was a bent old woman. She sensed the unease of the troops, and as rank after rank passed her, she kept smoothly repeating, "Never mind, boys, they are nothing but men." One soldier said that these commonplace words uttered in the context seemed almost sublime. And the lads shook off their panic and were brave soldiers once again. As you seek to express your faith, don't let fear paralyze, intimidate, or immobilize you. Remember that you are speaking to just men or women. Remember Legion, who started as a slave, and then he became a seeker, then he was saved, and then he spoke of Jesus. You and I are in the same glorious situation. Express your faith daily without fear. We're going to sing in closing, if you're using a hymn book, Christian Hymns 128. It's on the back wall, front wall, back wall for me, and for you to take there. And it's all about Jesus, because that's who we're about, Jesus. Speaking about him, living for him, serving him.